This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. Do you have a plumbing emergency? Call Four Seasons. An electrical emergency? Call Four Seasons. A heating or cooling emergency? Call Four Seasons. Same day hot water tank installation needed? Call Four Seasons. Need a whole home generator? Call Four Seasons. We guarantee same day installation on all heating, cooling, plumbing, and electrical needs. And no extra charge for nights, weekends, or holidays.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
I hope I would have the courage to quit my job if I felt that I was censured. Now, remember, I have been a reporter and a news anchor most of my career. These last 12 years, I have been a radio talk show host, which is very different than a journalist. And only once was I ever asked to kill a story. Once I was asked to kill a story. It was, I was doing a story. I'm not going to tell you which market I was in. It was a kind of a small story. It wasn't a big deal. It was about a memo that was leaked from the president of the company's desk. It wasn't a huge story, but it's something that I was working on. And I also, by the way, knew that I wasn't going to be able to prove it because I did not take the memo off of the president's desk. I was sort of investigating what was happening with that story. And the president of my company said that this company that I was investigating was a big client of theirs. And he said, we'd really like you to not do this story. And because it didn't affect the public interest, it was allegedly something nasty that he wrote about his employees or something. I was maybe 2 weeks on the job. I was very new to the company. And the president and my immediate boss at the time asked me to not do it. And I caved. And I said, okay, I will not investigate that. Now, keep in mind, when you work in a newsroom or anything like that, the assignment desk and the executive producer totally have the ability to kill stories. You know, even at the very end, even if you put, you know, months of work into a story, if they feel that it's not up to snuff or whatever their reasons are, they have the ability to kill stories. I've never had a story killed at the last minute, anything like that. But this one, it was the only conflict I had ever had. I was not a journalist at the time. I was just doing some investigative work on a different story. And they asked me, it would be bad for the company if I continued the work. And I'm going to be totally honest with you. It wasn't my proudest moment, but I was brand new into this line of work. It wasn't that kind of reporting. It was more research. And I said I would, you know, I was low man on the totem pole. And I said, I will no longer work on the story for the good of the company. It was basically like, if I wanted to keep my job, I should probably drop that story. And again, it wasn't like huge public interest. It wasn't life or death. I felt that, you know, no one's going to get hurt. No one's going to die if I drop this story. This was about making another local company sort of look bad because they had done something mean to their employees, that kind of thing. Do I still regret it? Does it still affect me? Yes. I probably should have fought harder. I was a young person at the time and not didn't really have my sea legs under me to know how to push back against this. But still, one of the issues in my career that I absolutely regret that I didn't push back more. I tell you this story because a Washington Post columnist who wrote something critical of the paper has quit her job. Now, this is a woman who I truly respect. Ruth Marcus has worked at the Washington Post since 1984. Since 1984, she has worked there for decades. And she wrote a story critical of Jeff Bezos. Jeff, if you're unfamiliar with Jeff Bezos, Amazon, that same one, he is also the owner of the Washington Post. And her commentary was critical of his editorial policy. And they wouldn't print it, and she quit her job. And I was reminded again of my failing, of my cowardice when I didn't fight harder for that story. Maybe it was not as of significance like hers. See, here I'm still trying to defend myself with the mistake that I think I made in my career. And she says this was the first time in nearly 20 years of writing columns that she's had one killed. Now, she's been writing columns for more than 20 years, so she knows this happens. And this does happen. Editorial boards and the leadership of the newsroom, I get it. They get to kill stories. But she said that this was the line for her. This decision, she says, underscores that the traditional freedom of columnists to select topics they wish to address and say what they think has been dangerously eroded. That was in her resignation letter, reported by the Times, of course. The Post says, we're grateful for Ruth's significant contributions to the Washington Post over the past 40 years. And we respect her decision to leave and wish her the best. I bet they do. I bet they do. But friends, this sets a dangerous, dangerous precedent. It really does. I understand that leadership, again, third time I'm saying this, leadership in newsrooms, leadership in media companies, they often do get to kill stories at the last minute. But there is a danger by not allowing a column that you disagree with, you disagree with that viewpoint, there is a danger that it can now taint future decisions. That now, not only do you lose the trust of the employees writing, you put some fear that if they write something that's against what Jeff Bezos wants or whatever the editorial board wants, they will not get printed. You also put distrust into the reading public. What can I say about the Washington Post now? Are you going to read the Washington Post now that they know they kill stories that are critical of their leaders? You're probably, if you still read it, it's probably going to be tainted for you. And it's tainted for me now. It really is. Of course, what stands out to me is her extraordinary strength. I mean, after 40 years, I don't know, I can't say if she was ready to retire or not, but she certainly had, she has her power. She could certainly get another job if she wants, but she knows that this was wrong. You know, she wasn't a pup reporter doing what they want, and maybe they want to fill the newsroom with pup reporters that will print what they want. And her leaving is a detriment to the reading public. I kind of wish she was still staying and fighting against the machine. Like, no, I want this. I absolutely, and made them fire her. You know, I don't know if they would or not, or they would just not print it. You know, it's their candy store, so they still hold the power. That's still how this works. So I wish I had the courage to do what she did. Someone said, will I still read the Washington Post based on killing stories to protect their leader? Welcome to every media outlet ever. No, I only worked at one where that happened. And it was for a, you know, literally because it was one of their sponsors. It was one of their big accounts. I don't know. It frightens me that this happens. But honestly, this woman deserves kudos. And I think it's fantastic that she did it. And now, later in my career, I probably would have more of her courage to think, okay, no, this is wrong, and stand up for myself. And I want to revisit this later in the show because I want to know if you stood up at work and what the repercussions were. If you did, it is a hard thing to do, friends, to stand up to your employer. And kudos to Ruth Marcus for making that happen. And sorry, Washington Post, you sort of put a chink in your own armor there, because now you have been revealed to the public as an organization that is not willing to publish anything negative about your leadership. When we get back, someone who is always fighting for the greater good, Sheriff Dawana Witt. I always take your questions, 651-461-9226. I have much to discuss with Sheriff Witt. She's up next on CCO.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
When you're driving along, maybe singing to the radio, maybe your foot has hit the gas a little too much because it's your favorite song from the 80s, and you see those lights going behind you, you know you were going too fast and you're going to have to pull over. What's your initial reaction? For me, I panic. Well, not like panic, but I'm like, oh my gosh, I got to get over. I got the cops are here. The sheriff is here. Somebody's pulling me over. I got to get over. And that is my immediate reaction. You guys know I'm a baby. I'm a rule follower. I'm afraid of the IRS. If I saw those lights behind me, I would do my best to find a safe way to pull over ASAP. Well, according to the sheriff's office, they are seeing a lot of people fleeing from police after a traffic stop is initiated. I know. I'm so innocent that I can't believe that people would actually do this, but they do. And that is where we're starting with our Hennepin County Sheriff, Dawana Witt, who is joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline today. Sheriff, you are remote in your office. I'm remote in Florida. At least I'm glad we could catch up on the phone today.
Good morning, and thank you. I wish I was in Florida with you, though, even though the weather here is not so bad right now.
That's right.
But I do miss the ocean.
Oh, it's so nice. It is nice here. I won't go on and on about it. People drive really fast down here, by the way. They got these big highways. They drive really fast. But what is this craziness that the sheriff's office is seeing more people? Now, this is an increase in them fleeing from you after a traffic stop. Is this taking off in their cars? Is it taking off on foot? What's happening?
You know, I'm going to talk specifically about the vehicles. You know, just last night we had two that fled in vehicles. You know, our patrol unit in 2024, where they've had 46, you know, in 2025, it's been 11 already to include those two from last night. But we are seeing people fleeing law enforcement in using their motor vehicles more often, and it's not safe to do so. It's not good for our communities. We realize that, you know, just the mere risk that people take when they do that just to evade being arrested is putting everyone at risk.
So people don't understand. Are you allowed to chase them in the vehicles? Can the sheriff's department, can law enforcement start a chase if somebody takes off?
So every agency has their own policies. Our policy here at the Hennepin County Sheriff's Office is that we will pursue you when it's safe to do so. You know, and depending on the reason for arresting someone, you know, that also plays into that decision factor. We're not talking about misdemeanors. We're talking about people committing dangerous offenses or dangerous acts that puts the public in danger. And it is our job to try to impede that so that they do not hurt anyone, including themselves.
So these are people that you already know are a danger. What if, like, I guess if they take off, they're committing another crime. So you would want to chase them even more, right?
Well, that's part of the idea, right? You have reason to believe that if they are not captured at that moment, that they may continue to put the public at risk or commit dangerous activity. So, again, there's a lot of thoughts that go into it, but we are always evaluating, is it too unsafe to pursue? And sometimes, you know, that means that we just have to call in other avenues, like, you know, we'll call in for air support so that we can pursue in a more safer way. But there are times, too, that we don't talk about where we see driving that is so dangerous and erratic that we discontinue the pursuit. Because, again, we don't want to put anybody at any more grave danger than they already are when we have people out there all over the roads and without care to other people's well-being. So we do evaluate again. Every stop, every pursuit is different, but a lot of thought has to go into, shall we do this or shall we not? But to be clear, we do have a pursuit policy here at the Hennepin County Sheriff's Office. And, you know, there's been some times where people encountered that we've had to chase, and they surprisingly would say, you're not supposed to chase us. And that makes you wonder, like, okay, are you going to flee because you think that law enforcement will not pursue you? Well, surprise, here we are, and we're going to continue to do what we need to do to keep people safe.
Okay, but at some point, though, on the ground, like you said, if it becomes unsafe, you need backup, because if they're in a, you know, crowded neighborhood or something like that, at some point, right, on the ground, I mean, do you stop?
Well, that's just one thing, right? It might be ground support. It might be air support. It might be terminating the pursuit altogether. So, again, there's different options. Every time is different, but there's a lot of things to weigh when making the decisions to pursue or not to pursue.
Okay. So everybody listening, I know they're all good rule followers, our CCO listening audience, pull over, hands at 10 and 2. And be nice to the officer. Do not flee, because they will come and get you. Let me ask you this.
You know, and we should say,
while we're talking,
people should know that it is a felony to flee in a motor vehicle, a felony that can be punishable up to 3 years, you know, incarcerated. So it is a felony to flee using a motor vehicle. So that's something that people should know.
Okay, so especially if this is a traffic stop, just take your ticket, friends, and move forward from there. It's a lot cheaper. That's right. It's a lot. And you could still get a job after the traffic stop. The felony might be a problem. Sheriff, what advice do you give people when they are stopped by the police? I know, you know, after the tragic death of Philando Castile, many other, you know, we've heard the term driving while black. You know, it's things have not been great for black drivers. What is the advice you give? You have grown children. What is the advice you give your children, or you'd give my children, when they get pulled over?
You know, I tell people just follow the directions given by whoever the law enforcement agency or person is that they're encountering. If people feel that they were treated unfairly, if they were disrespected, if their rights were violated, then you go through the process after. Don't do it during a traffic stop. But, you know, from the day I said I was a school resource officer, I always told my kids, I told people I encountered, if you feel like I'm violating your rights, then please complain. And here's my name, and here's my badge number. But the time is not to do that during the incident. And, you know, I'm not going to be foolish and say that it never happens. We know that there's been bad apples out there, far and few between, but have made very big impacts on people's lives. So I'm not going to deny that. But during the time of that encounter is not the time to do it. You know, it's one of the things I will say to my deputies is, like, you know, we get people that are disrespectful and try to harm us all the time as well. And like I tell them, don't let the story be about how you responded to someone else's bad behavior. You know, make the standing on you have a legal arrest or you have a legal reason to be there, and then don't let the story be about you reacting to someone else's bad behavior or assaultive behavior for that matter, because that's something we see all the time. People just don't talk about that part.
That's great advice from a sheriff, from a mom or dad. That is great advice. Don't make the story about how you reacted. React well. We're speaking, of course, with Sheriff DeJuana Witt, as we do on a monthly basis. Sheriff Witt, was somebody the office of a smear campaign by the sheriff's office? You can't answer now because we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to have the sheriff answer that question right after the break. Continuing our conversation with Sheriff DeJuana Witt, our Hennepin County Sheriff. She's joining us on the line with me. But for those of you who haven't heard, last month, there were a couple of news outlets, including the Star Tribune, that reported that Sarah Gadd, who is an attorney, was the subject of an investigation into drugs being smuggled into the Hennepin County Jail. Ms. Gadd then says that she was subject to a smear campaign from the Hennepin County Sheriff's Office that targeted her with baseless drug searches. Sheriff, I don't know how intimately involved you are in every single case, but can you share with us what happened in this case and why she's accusing you of a smear campaign?
Well, I can tell you that it is still an ongoing investigation, so I am limited as what I can say. What I will say is that we did not initiate nor participate in a smear campaign. What we did is our job, as the law allows us to, and we follow whatever evidence comes through those individual cases. Again, we did not. That's childish. It's not a smear campaign. If doing our job is smearing people's reputations, then fine. I guess we could look at it that way. But we're doing our job. And, you know, I have very good men and women who know how to do their job, how to work their ways through these investigations. Our job, again, is to keep the public safe. That includes our incarcerated population. Right. And with that being said, because it is ongoing, I can't talk much more about that.
I totally understand, but it's an interesting case. It's something that people are talking about, and I wanted to get your thoughts on that for the record. But I totally understand you're not in the business of talking about ongoing claims, so I totally understand. You're also reviewing another case I wanted to talk to you about. The Hennepin County Sheriff is also reviewing a January arrest case that happened in a parking lot in South Minneapolis that involved use of force during arrest of a suspect who was on drug charges and also was supposed to have an illegal firearm. There's video showing two detectives using force of an arrest in the Seward neighborhood in South Minneapolis in this parking lot. Was the use of force excessive? What is the status of this case?
So first, I'd like to say that both the stop and the use of force were lawful. You know, all responses to resistance, which is what we call a response to resistance incidents, they are all reviewed internally, and that process was ongoing when the new video was released on Facebook. You know, we reviewed our body-worn camera, our footage, and then we also sent it for outside opinion to the Wright County Sheriff's mm-hmm. Office. And, you know, as it was determined, even by the Wright County Sheriff's Office, that it was justified given the circumstances that the detectives were faced with. You know, I want to emphasize, though, that our detectives have to make split-second decisions in high-stakes situations. Yes. You know, the suspect in this case was not complying with the commands. We kind of talked about that with the first part of the show. And when detectives tried to handcuff him, he resisted. And he was trying to reach for his waistband. You know, we know that a lot of things can be done with hands. It is very important for law enforcement to see your hands. And there were multiple commands that were given. And so, you know, he was arrested for illegally possessing a firearm and drug charges. And, you know, we're going to continue to investigate how that gun got into his hands. That's something else that it's important for people to know. The investigation doesn't even just stop with that incident. He should not have had that gun. And we are continuing that that part of the investigation as well. I mean, we're seeing a lot of gun violence here, right? And mm-hmm. so, you know, for whatever reasons why it will not the charges won't be pursued of this person, that's one part of the story. But it doesn't end with that. We need to find out how he got that gun. And where it came from, so that we can, again, continue to try to do our best to keep our community safe.
Why aren't the charges being pursued against this person?
Well, they made the decision. Our county attorney's office made the decision that it was a bad stop or a bad arrest or something to that effect. Mm-hmm. You know, so we have a difference of opinion there. But again, that doesn't end the investigation. There's other things to look at here in regards to up this person who should not have had a gun, had a gun.
You know, Sheriff, we heard the term, I feel like the term use of force became part of our vernacular post mm-hmm. George Floyd in this George Floyd era. And we talked a lot at that point with Madaria Arredondo, who was the chief of police at the time, about what is use of force. You know, we were very familiar as we watched the Derek Chauvin trial. What's in the playbook? What's allowed? What's not allowed? Did he do the right move with the knee on the neck? Was it a knee on the shoulder? Has use of force or training for that, for incidents like this, has this changed for you guys in the last 5 years in the post-George Floyd world?
Well, of course, we're constantly looking and evaluating, right, use of force. Or, again, you know, use of force is always going to have that negative connection. Response to resistance is what we do. And so, you know, it's interesting, right? You could talk about professional fighters and things like that. Everybody wants a rule book. Well, you know what? Sometimes things happen that where rules aren't being followed, and I don't mean by law enforcement, but mm-hmm. the object is making sure that everybody in those response to resistance interactions live. You know, it's how do you do mm-hmm. that job in the mm-hmm. safest manner, one, keeping yourself safe and keeping the person that you're having those interactions with safe. That is what's important. And so when we talk about the many different scenarios that can happen when you have to go hands-on with someone, mm-hmm. the object is always to do it in the safest manner possible, to not use more force than what is needed to get the situation under control. That is always the goal.
It's a good goal. Thank you, Sheriff. Thank you for explaining that to us. I have one more question, kind of a fun one. It's an insightful one. It's the way we started our show. Totally off topic of law enforcement. But if I may, I started the show talking about Ruth Marcus. She's a Washington Post columnist that quit her job at the Washington Post when she wrote a critical article about Jeff Bezos, and they wouldn't publish it. So after 40 years, she quit her job at the Post. At your job, you don't have to tell me which job it was. You know, it doesn't have to be law enforcement. Have you ever been asked to not do something at a job that you wanted to do, or maybe do something that you didn't want to do? I shared a story in the beginning. I was asked to kill a story that I was working on, and I was younger, so mm-hmm. I did it, and I regret it to this day. But I know people are faced with this subject all the time. So I know you've spent most of your life in law enforcement. Have you ever been in a situation where a boss or someone in a leadership position told you to do something that you weren't necessarily comfortable doing?
Yes, and I would bet a lot of people have been in that position. Yes, I'm not unfamiliar with that at all. You know, we talk about trying to live life with no regrets. And I could tell you, though, one of my biggest regrets is that I didn't do what I should have done because of the strong recommendation that was made to me by a supervisor. And I forever regret it till this very day. And that was about 20 years ago, and I still regret it till this very day. So, you know, people got to do with what they got to stick with their moral compass and do with what feels right and realize that sometimes with that, yeah, there comes consequences, but you're kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't. So what's most important is just sticking to your values and doing what you think is right and realize that not everybody is going to support that. But are you doing what's right for yourself?
Mm-hmm. Want to tell us any more about the situation?
Maybe another time, because trust me, that'll go into a couple of segments. Well, because it does involve law enforcement, you know, and, you know, I surprisingly brought that up at a public speaking engagement recently. Actually, it was at the Sheriff's Wellness Summit that I attended in D.C. And, you know, it impacted me and it still impacts mm-hmm. me. And, you know, when you're somebody who tells people to just do what's right, always follow your moral compass. At that point in my career, I did not do it. And it still impacts me today. So do what makes you feel comfortable. Do what you think is right. And just realize that, you know, consequences can come either way. But can you live mm-hmm. with yourself?
Thank you for sharing that. And I really, what we spoke about today, having, you know, your reaction define you, not what's happening, having your reaction define you and have it a good, be a positive reaction. I learned so much from our conversations. And if we were in studio, I would ask you during the commercial break to tell me more about that story, but that'll have to be for next month. Sheriff DeWanawit, thank you so much for joining us, for clarifying everything and for helping keep all of us safe.
Thank you very much. I appreciate always talking to you, Jordana. So.
You got it. Thanks, Sheriff.
Thank you.
Yeah, I was feeling introspective this morning when I was reading about Ruth. And, you know, even the sheriff said there's one incident in her career where, you know, she felt pressured. I felt the same way. I bet we all, or maybe many of us, have a situation like that. All right. Thank you for that conversation with the sheriff. Thank you for chiming in here on the text line. And we'll be right back. Hey, where's my open? Come on. Where's my Florida open?
I asked you if you had an observation from Florida, and I didn't hear you answer me.
Oh, I said yes, of course. I have a great one. Hit me.
Hold on.
Wait for it. Oh, God, listeners, you're so patient this morning. Hold on. I do have an observation.
In the Twin Cities, our fearless mid-morning hosts have skipped town for the warm beaches of Florida. What will befall them in the land of alligators and golf carts? Will our bold North heroes find a place in the Sunshine State? It's time for Observations from Florida with Adam and Jordana.
Just Jordana today. And yes, I have observations from Florida. Last year, I believe I posted a picture when I was down, because I am visiting my parents down in Florida. We go to Southeast Florida. And I posted a picture of the back seat of my mother's car that was overflowing with Bed Bath & Beyond coupons. And these coupons, by the way, I believe the oldest one was from 2009. They were probably still good if Bed Bath Beyond still existed. But now that Bed Bath Beyond has gone out of business officially, like in at least physical stores, the coupons, they have been cleaned out of the back seat. But there is a new collection happening in the trunk of many Floridians' cars. When I opened the trunk to put in my suitcase when I arrived last week, I saw about 100 plastic bags. These are the bags you get at the grocery store. When they say paper or plastic, and you don't choose paper, the plastic bags that you get at Target or at the Byerly's, anywhere else, you get a plastic bag. I go, guys, talking to my parents, what is happening with all of these plastic bags? Why is this a thing? And they said the reason they keep them is because you can recycle them at Publix or Albertsons or wherever you go to do your grocery shopping down here. So friends, this is a site. There will be a picture on my Instagram today. Please follow at Jordana Verde. Yesterday, you can see the number of landline phones. I believe there are 6 landline phones in my parents' house, all plugged in, including in the bathroom. There is a picture of that. You can see on my post, on my feed. Today, I will be posting a picture of the hundreds of plastic bags that are in the trunk that my parents are saving up to return to the Publix next time we go.
Point number one, I often say, you're not a grown-up until you have a bag of bags in your house.
Yes, this is so many bags.
Like, I never thought it, like, nobody in college has a bag of bags. Now forget that. And then when you're an adult, you're like, oh, yeah, I got to save these. I got to put the bags in a bag. Everyone's got a Target bag full of bags. Point number two, you told me yesterday that one of those landline phones, one of the 74 landline phones that you have encountered in Florida, was ringing. Did you ever figure out who was calling?
Oh, God, no. No, I mean... I grew up with landline phones, but I would never answer because somebody who's calling the landline phone at my parents' house needs to talk to my parents. They're not here to talk to me. It's some kind of medical thing or somebody else who lives in the community. Who knows? Maybe they have one of those lines that like hotels have. Absolutely not. I would never pick up their phone.
No, come on. The next time it calls, you have to pick it up and then take notes and tell us who called the Florida landline phone. Minnesota wants to know.
Was it Lori and Tony?
Yes.
Or was it Debbie and Bruce?
You guys are late for your tea time.
Was it Ruth and Stewart? I'm not sure who was calling. But I did, because I couldn't have it, David, I did unplug the landline phone that was in the bathroom.
No.
Because you know what? I don't want to be doing my business and hearing,
and
you know the rings are loud.
Yes.
The ringers are on, you know, they go to 11.
Yeah.
They're going to 12. So God love my parents. I will not be answering the landline phone. I did unplug it in my bathroom, which I will plug in. But today's observation is now that everyone has the trunk full of plastic bags, the bag of bags.
Bag of bags.
It is going back to Publix. So I will be returning it for them to the Publix and encouraging them to use paper bags, but it's fine as long as they do recycle them. So that's what's been fun. That is my Florida observation. I will be keenly looking around and seeing what else is out there today on my walk. Someone texted in, hilarious timing. I'm currently seeing a fabric bag to hold my plastic bags. I'm getting old. Oh, I guess the bag of bags. Sometimes you have the paper bag because that's good for the environment that you put all the plastic bags in because we do need the plastic bags. You use the plastic bags to, you know, line the garbages, the little bathroom garbages in your house.
Yes,
or you
indeed.
Use them to pick up the dog poop. Hopefully we're reusing the plastic bags so at least they can get a second or third life. Jor, make sure you record the phone call and play on air. I might have to.
Yeah.
Yeah, I might have to. Yeah. If Debbie and Dave down the block call again today to check in on my parents, I will be recording that call from Debbie and Dave. And if the accent is getting worse now that I'm down here, friends, I cannot control that. I am around a bunch of Northeast Jews all the time being down here in Florida. So I cannot control my accent, and I'm sorry if it's annoying you. It's just one more week. David, what you got coming up for us in Quick Takes?
It's awesome. I don't think it's annoying. I think it's endearing, Jordana. Live into that. Coming up on Quick Takes, a surge in retirements on the high seas. Also, why are the wild struggling at home? We'll get to both of those coming up next in Quick Takes.
Lots of good stuff. We'll be right back after the news on CCO.